going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 263 of the DFS Dose podcast, your fix of daily fantasy sports information, strategy, and analysis. I'm your host, Ben Hover, joined as I always am by Joey Carrion. And on today's show, we're going to be taking a look at week 10 in the NFL from a DraftKings perspective, talk some slate specifics, look at the cash game core, tournament strategy, leverage, stacks, long shots, everything you need to know to win a tournament. But most importantly, Joey, happy birthday, my brother.
Thank you. I mean, 25 years old now, getting old.
Old as dirt, dude. 1 year closer to the end. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Is it, though?
Shared birthday of two of the most underrated, you know, professionals in their respective tiers, right? We've got you in the DFS space, criminally underrated, and we've got Jacoby Myers, criminally underrated as an NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, shout out my boy Jacoby. I hope he's having a good day as well. Patriots are on a bye week, so, I mean, he's definitely on vacation right now, getting lit.
Chilling.
Can't say the same for myself.
Nope, you were just here recording this pod with me. Good times. All right, let's hop into what is looking like a pretty ugly week 10 main slate with 10 games, 7 games early, 3 games in the afternoon. From a totals perspective, we've got 3 games 48.5 or higher. I think there's a pretty clear teardrop after those 3 games. From a team totals perspective, Kansas City Chiefs stand out with 30. That's 4 full points higher than the next closest team. Miami 26, Chicago 25.75, Buffalo 24.5, and the Las Vegas Raiders 24.25, rounding out the top 5 highest implied team totals. Joey's, what is standing out to you this week from a Vegas perspective?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's kind of a disgusting slate this week. Only 3 games, like you said, with totals above 48. I'm not seeing really any projected shootouts, just with the context of some of the teams like the Bills and Josh Allen's injury, which we'll talk about, and that total has dropped almost 5 points. And you know, you have the Rams and Cardinals, which, you know, prior to the season we would have thought it would be a shootout. That's not the case. 43.5 total, one of the lowest on the slate. Packers Cowboys, that total dropped 6 points, crazy. And the Packers team total also dropped over 6 points. So Vegas is off that game, in my opinion. So there's not really too many spots that look enticing this week. And I think that a lot of the field will probably gravitate towards, you know, the Chiefs Jags game or the Dolphins Browns or Bears Lions game. One of those 3 games will be the premier game stack that everybody's going to gravitate towards this week.
Yeah, and that makes a ton of sense. And speaking of what the field is going to do, I think the field is going to be all over Fields. You know, Justin Fields this week priced up to 6,500. And frankly, to me, that's just not enough. Over the last 3 weeks, Justin Fields is averaging 31 fantasy points per game. And that's just like standard fantasy. That's not even including DraftKings bonuses. He has been an elite QB1, like quarterback 1 overall production over this last 3-week span. And now he enters the best matchup that he's had against a pathetic Detroit Lions defense. I just don't think that he's expensive enough. And for that reason, he's going to end up being massive chalk this week.
Yep. Once again, Justin Fields is the best quarterback play on the slate, in my opinion, at 6,500. It's for all of the reasons that you mentioned. Then when we take into account just the context of the slate, some of, you know, the injuries that we have, and with it not being a pretty good value slate, like, I think we are pretty strapped for cash. You're going to need to spend down a little bit. And I think Justin Fields at 6,500, while he's in the mid range, you know, he's not 8,600 like Josh Allen, who's not in play this week, or 7,900 like Patrick Mahomes, who I think is probably going to be the second highest owned quarterback. I think you kind of need the savings off Mahomes to Fields in this week 10 slate, and the floor is incredibly high. The rushing upside is incredibly high, as we saw last week, him rushing for the most yards in a game in the regular season of any quarterback in NFL history. You know, only Colin Kaepernick has more rushing yards in a game, and that was in that playoff game against Green Bay. So, I mean, his floor is incredibly high. The matchup is great. 6,500. I think you're probably locking him in cash and you're feeling pretty comfortable about it this week.
Definitely. I mean, so for Patrick Mahomes, you mentioned you think that he'll be the second highest quarterback on the slate, and I do agree with that. Coming off of a wild game against Tennessee where he threw the ball 68 times, also 63 yards rushing in that spot. Obviously, Mahomes has a massive ceiling here. I already referenced when we were looking through the totals, like the Chiefs have a 4-point higher implied team total than any other team on the slate. And, you know, they really just haven't been using their running backs. You know, they've been putting the entire game in Patrick Mahomes' hand. I don't think that changes here at home in a really good spot against Jacksonville. I mean, do we think that in tournaments we're going to be paying up for Mahomes in this spot trying to access that ceiling?
Yeah, I think we are. I think he is the top spendable option. I mean, we only have three quarterbacks above 7K. We have Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray's obviously out of play now that Call of Duty is in full swing.
Yep.
And then Josh Allen is obviously dealing with that UCL injury, which is an injury for everybody that doesn't know. It's an injury that is in your elbow, and it's the ligament, you know, that connects your elbow to your forearm or whatever. It can impact quarterbacks, and they said he's day-to-day. I think he's probably going to miss, if I had to guess. I think that they'd probably be better off just letting him rest up for a few weeks. And I mean, we haven't really had much news about it, and I think you can interpret that two ways. I think you can interpret that as a good thing because we probably would have known by now if it was a serious injury, or you can interpret it as a bad thing, as you know, they're kind of stalling and trying to figure out what to do with this injury and the impacts that it could have short term and long term, especially when you invest such capital into a player, right? So I don't think he plays. Maybe I'm wrong, but since Josh Allen isn't in play, Patrick Mahomes is the premier quarterback this week. And at 7,900, I mean, he's definitely the spend-up option, but it is kind of hard to get away from Justin Fields in tournaments. I think the pivot that I would look to in tournaments would be Tua at 67. So you're only spending 200 more. The ceiling is just as high, in my opinion, maybe a little bit lower because of Fields' rushing upside. And then you know who to stack Tua with. The stacking partners are clear, and the targets are very condensed in that offense. So Tua would be my favorite tournament play at quarterback.
Yeah, totally agree. But I mean, at this point, that stack is getting out of control in terms of price with Jalen Waddle 7,600, Tyreek over 9K. Now, it's really tough to play that double, especially on a slate like this where we're absolutely starved for value. Potentially could change throughout the week as value opens up. I just want to respond to what you said about Josh Allen. You know, I don't think that we know. I don't think that, you know, the Twitter bros know, the Twitter docs out there. I think that, you know, everybody's just sort of guessing right now. But you know who I do think knows, Joey, is Vegas. Vegas always knows, and the totals only dropped 3 points. If Josh Allen was going to miss this game, I mean, the Vikings would be favored at this point. Bills wouldn't still be favored by 4.5. That to me is the biggest indication of information at this point. I think that Josh Allen probably plays. That being said, things could obviously change throughout the week, and I would be keeping an eye on the total and the way that the spread shifts in the coming days to get a better picture of our expectation with Josh Allen. But nonetheless, even if he does play, I don't think that we can go there on DraftKings at 8,600. You just need him to be hitting a ceiling, and it's hard to imagine him doing so when this injury directly impacts throwing power and deep accuracy, which are two things that, you know, Josh Allen feeds off of in accessing his ceiling from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, he's definitely out of play. Like I said, I don't know, but if I had to guess, I think he's out. The Bills team total has dropped almost 5 points itself, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that's more of an indication rather than the over-under, which, I mean, you said 3.5. It's actually dropped 5.5 points.
I was saying Bills team total.
Oh, Bills team total, yep, almost 5 points. 28.5 to 23.75, and the total has dropped from 49.5 to 44. So 5.5 points on the total. So if we're looking at it from the Vegas perspective, I think that tells me that they think Josh Allen is either going to be limited or he's going to be downright out.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I hadn't even refreshed this, and it looks like the total has dropped in the last like hour. So
yeah,
maybe you are onto something there. So outside of Mahomes, Tua, Fields, there's really not too many pivots that I look at as viable in this game. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, you could maybe make a case for. I mean, last week we talked about, you know, we have to imagine that Trevor has a ceiling, play it before we see it type stuff. Should see a ton of volume trying to keep up with KC here. Do you think that we can go to Trevor stacks in tournaments this week? Should be relatively strong leverage off of Travis Etienne, who we'll get to in a minute, and we expect to be one of the chalkier running backs on the slate.
Yeah, I think you can just for the game environment. But, I mean, it's just so hard to play Trevor Lawrence when they don't have, like, the talent for him to hit his ceiling, right? He's throwing to Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram, which is okay, but it's definitely not great. And these players just don't have the ability to break off long plays and speed up the games and get into shootouts. And then Trevor Lawrence obviously has his struggles as a quarterback. You know, I don't think he's as good as people predicted coming out of Clemson. So it's just hard for me to click his name now. I mean, I know I touted him last week a little bit, but I don't think you could go there again. Honestly, like, I'd rather just play Case Keenum. You play Case Keenum 5K as the pay down quarterback option in a revenge game against Minnesota. You stack him with Stephon Diggs. You get the double revenge narrative. Okay, 5K for Keenum, 8K for Diggs, and you sail to the fucking money. That's what you do in week 10.
That's true, man. We got to adjust the projections for the double revenge input. Didn't have that in there. That's going to be a massive swing. All right. Let's talk running back here, and we can start right at the very top of the player pool. Saquon Barkley at 8,600. This spot sets up so, so well. Giants coming off of a bye at home, welcoming the stone cold worst rush defense in the league, allowing 180.6 rushing yards per game to opposing running backs. Third in the league in rushing, Barkley is one of only four backs averaging over 90 yards per game on the ground, 97.4. And I just think that Barkley's as clear cut a smash as we're going to find on a slate like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't really have to go into detail with this spot. He's playing the Houston Texans.
Yep.
You lock him in cash and you move on, in my opinion. Especially on this slate where, you know, we've kind of been blessed with the amount of mid-range smash running backs on DraftKings over the last few weeks. So, I mean, it's only right that there are none this week, right? Like, it had to swing back eventually. So, Saquon Barkley, 8,600, I think is the best play on the slate. And, you know, they finally price up some guys that we've been playing, like Travis Etienne is 7,100. I think he's probably the second best running back play on the slate. Love Etienne. Josh Jacobs at 7,600 is also in cash game consideration at home against the Colts. Good spot for this Raiders offense against a Colts team that, you know, has one of the lowest implied team totals on the slate. They hired Jeff Saturday is their interim head coach. They're just blatantly tanking at this point. But, I mean, we've seen it with Josh Jacobs this year. The only way we're getting his ceiling games is if he scores touchdowns, you know?
Yeah.
So is this a spot where the Raiders are in a position to score a bunch of touchdowns? I think so. So Josh Jacobs, 7,600, good play. Other than that, I'm not really seeing too much below 7K that I love. I mean, you have Swift at 6,400, which is cheap. He's still splitting touches. He's still recovering from his injury, and he just doesn't have the workload that you want, the safeness that you want in cash. So I don't think you can go there. I think really the only guy that people might gravitate towards in the 6K range would be Damian Pierce at 6,300. In the same game as Saquon. I mean, you just know you're going to get 20 plus touches out of Damian Pierce, and his floor, I think, is actually kind of high now with his opportunity. You know, he hasn't gone under 14 DraftKings points since week 2. So we have a nice long stretch of games where even in games where the Texans are underdogs or where they're behind or whatever is the case, he's still going to get fed. You know, he's a threat for the 100-yard bonus. He's a threat for a rushing touchdown every single game. And prior to last week, he had 3-plus catches in, you know, the last 4 games that he played. So Damian Pierce, 6,300, I think is in cash game consideration as well.
Probably the lowest we would go. I mean, I like the call on Pierce there. He's just the absolute focal point of the Texans offense. And I mean, you know, we talked about how good of a spot it is for Barkley. I do expect the Giants to win this game, but would it shock you at all if this was like a down-to-the-wire game? It seems like every Giants game is down to the very end, and I could see the Texans playing them extremely close. I mean, they played Philly pretty close for what it's worth, and coming off of 10 days of rest, a little mini bye in their own right. I think the Damian Pierce call is pretty good, and, you know, we did have the 4-game sample size of 4-plus targets leading up to last week where he disappointed with 0. I mean, obviously should have known that since I bet his reception. sense that that was coming. But other than that, yeah, I like Damian Pierce quite a bit. That's the lowest in cash. And really, I think that that's it for cash. Like Pierce, mm-hmm. Etienne, Jacobs, Barkley, you're probably only playing two of them this week. It's going to be relatively difficult to pay for three of them on this slate with the lack of value and all of them being relatively priced up. I think there's a lot of interesting running backs for tournaments, but we can get to that a little bit later in the show. Wide receiver, Joey. I mean, even the wide receivers that I think will be chalky this week, I don't feel great about. Juju Smith-Schuster in the mid-range, Christian Kirk in the mid-range, 6K and 5,900 respectively in the highest totaled game on the slate. Are you feeling comfortable about rolling these guys out in cash this week?
Yeah, I think you can feel comfortable. Obviously, the Chiefs-Jags game is the highest total game on the slate, so that's going to project well. Juju at 6K has been, you know, a target monster over, you know, his last five games, 8+ targets in every game but one, 12 targets last game against Kansas City. Although I think expecting Juju to go for 10+ targets is probably a bad expectation. You know, Patrick Mahomes threw 68 times, which I think is like the most attempts in NFL history, or one of the highest attempted games in NFL history. So kind of an outlier there. Christian Kirk, 5,900. I think his target expectation in this game is relatively high, so I think he's going to be a little bit chalky. You mentioned Rondale Moore, who is 5,200. You know, they finally figured out that his best place is in the slot, and they give him these layup targets, is the term that people say. He's the king of layup targets. He gets those easy 1 yard A-dot catches, the screen passes, the bubble passes, and he's athletic enough to do something with that. So I think the floor is a little bit higher with Rondale Moore, and at 5,200, I think he is the pay-down wide receiver this week. I don't really feel comfortable going lower than that, you know, unless you want to take a shot on, I don't fucking know, Mecole Hardman, who's actually like a top 12 wide receiver in points per game over the last month of the season, if you didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, it only took him scoring 5 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, though.
Yeah, so he's been running hot on touchdowns for sure. So yeah, I want to go lower than 5,200. And this week, I mean, it's just ugly, man. It's just ugly. It's going to be hard to make, you know, a lineup that you feel comfortable with in cash. So you are going to have to make some thinner plays, in my opinion, this week.
I mean, how thin do we go? I mean, are you fucking with Samori Toure with no Romeo Dubs, no Christian 3,900? Should be in every snap player opposite Alan Lazard for the Packers.
What's Stop the it. Stop it. We're not playing Samori Toure at 3,900. Maybe at 3K, he'd be in consideration.
Yeah.
But 3,900, absolutely no fucking chance.
Nah, you're probably right. I was just
I'd rather play Alec Pierce.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly. And then, so, I mean, if we're paying above 6K for wide receiver, I mean, really, genuinely, I don't believe that we can get up to the elite guys this week in cash at least. Tyreek, 91, Kupp, 9, Justin Jefferson, 88, and Davante Adams, 8.7. It's just, they're priced out this week, I think, because we have no value at running back. In terms of, like, the upper mid-range, the tier of 6,500 to 6,900, Amari Cooper, Chris Olave, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think that's pretty interesting. I could see one or two of those guys developing into relatively high tier chalk. Do you have a lean between those three guys in terms of their utilization and cash?
I don't know. I really do like Chris Olave this week at 68, especially if Jarvis Landry is out once again. So we'll have to wait and see on that. The matchup is good against Pittsburgh. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 6,900, I think is still a good play. You know, he was chalked last week, 6,600. He was chalked the week before, 6,900. Now, I don't think he's going to be too chalky. Price hasn't increased that much. Definitely a spot to target in tournaments. At an ownership discount, Waddle looks good at 7,600. I think Diggs would have been chalk if not for Josh Allen's injury at 8,300. At home in a revenge spot. And you know he's coming for blood.
Oh, that's the thing. 100%.
100%. You know he's coming out there and trying to drop 150 and 2 against his former team.
I mean, dude, he still might even with Keenum, right?
That's the thing. I still think he's a very, very good play, but projections aren't going to love that. And like you said, it's kind of hard to get up to these wide receivers this week. So that's going to be the tournament strategy, in my opinion, and the leverage build is flipping the build and getting up to Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, and fading, you know, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs at the top of the running back pool. In cash games, I think you're probably just living in the mid-range, you know, 6,500-ish.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited to play tournaments this week, you know, leverage myself off Justin Fields with some Bears running backs, play Case Keenum to Diggs and Jefferson, flip the build. I mean, this is going to be a sick ass week in tournaments. I can't wait. In terms of the tight end position, it looks like we're going to be forced into paying down. I think Kelsey's in a really strong spot here with the team total, but obviously 7,800, no shot in terms of cash. Cole Kmet, Greg Dulcich, both 3,400. Do you have a lean between these two? I think Kmet is going to look better from a projection standpoint, just from the sense that the Bears are a top three implied team total on the slate, and the Broncos have like an 18 ITT, but Dulcich has had an incredible role. He was up to 80% snaps last week, 17 targets in his first three NFL games, 44 yards or more, 10 plus DraftKings points every time he's touched the field. Dulcich looks pretty goddamn good this week at 3,400 in a plus matchup.
Yeah, so my lean would be Greg Dulcich for sure. I don't really necessarily buy into Cole Kmet projecting better. Obviously, the game environment is extremely better from a Vegas perspective. 48.5 total for the Bears Lions game compared to a 39 total, a 39 total for the Broncos Titans game, which is disgusting. And the Broncos have an 18 implied team total, which is also disgusting. But I think Greg Dulcich is just going to project better from a target perspective. The Bears are still a team that do not throw the ball. You know, they don't. They've been relying on Justin Fields and his legs to get the job done. And Justin Fields had his highest attempt game last week, and that was only 28.
Yeah.
So I think in a reasonable game, especially in a game that the Bears could easily be up and controlling, I think his expectation is somewhere between 20 to 24 passing attempts. I think in most games, Cole Kmet is only getting 3 to 4 targets, whereas I think Greg Dulcich has the upside for 7 to 8 on any given week. So I think the role is just a little bit better. I think the field will also agree with me, even though, you know, we had that smash Cole Kmet week last week and he scored 2 touchdowns and he scored 3 touchdowns his last 2 games. You know, it took him to week 7 to get 18 targets. 7 games, yeah, to get 18 targets. Dulcich had 17-3. So I think the clear-cut best play is Dulcich at 3,400. And I think playing Cole Kmet over him would be a mistake, just from an opportunity standpoint.
Yeah, no, that everything you said makes total and complete sense. Maybe point Chasey to go with Kmet there. Dulcich does profile, I think, is a better play, especially from a target perspective.
But the matchup is just so good, you know? So it's like give and take.
Yeah, and I also think that the fact that, you know, Justin Fields is going to be the chalkiest quarterback on the slate and everybody's going to be looking to save salary at tight end, it's just a stack that makes itself. People saw it hit its ceiling last week, so it's easy to talk themselves into running back in a great matchup. So, I mean, I think both of them will have a lot of ownership, and this will be something that we talk about again on Saturday for the late night live stream. But yeah, Dulcich would be the early week lean. Is there anybody else that you would consider? Evan Engram was pretty chalky last week, 3,300, gets another game where the Jags should be chasing points, highest total game on the slate, as we've referenced. Had a really strong target share going into last week, missed a big portion of the game, which is why he only had 2 targets, but prior to that he had 6 plus in 4 straight. Could be a pretty good spot for Evan Engram here.
Yeah, I'm just never playing Evan Engram. I mean, just pull up his DraftKings picture and just look at this goofy ass motherfucker and tell me how you can play him.
Yeah, man, playing for Jacksonville aged him like 12 years.
Yeah. Like, man needs Botox.
That's crazy. All right, let's talk tournaments, man. Leverage, stacks, long shots. We already hit on the biggest and easiest way to get leverage on this slate, which is flipping the build. And I think there are some really interesting running backs that you can do so with. If everybody's paying above 7K for, you know, ETN, Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, I think Alvin Kamara could work his way into being secondary chalk. You just pay below 7K, get 2 guys that, you know, may be shaky, but have a lot of upside. Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott did return to practice on Wednesday. Jerry Jones said he would play. That being said, Tony Pollard has, you know, clearly shown that he has the juice, and it's a great matchup against Green Bay. I think he's a great tournament play at 6,500 because of the price tag. Nobody will play him. And then both David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert stand out to me as guys to take shots on in large field tournaments as clear-cut leverage off of Justin Fields, especially Khalil Herbert, who won't get owned and prior to last week was really separating and displaying how much more efficient he is than David Montgomery. Khalil Herbert might be my favorite long shot of the week, as well as a phenomenal piece of leverage off of Justin Fields' stuff.
Yeah, I definitely love the Bears running backs for sure. Just leverage in every way gets you off of, you know, the chalk build, gets you off of Justin Fields' chalk, and it's a good matchup for them going up against the worst run defense in the NFL in the Detroit Lions. So definitely like that. I do like some of the running backs a little bit lower. I think Deion Jackson looks good if Jonathan Taylor were to miss again. I honestly like Daryl Henderson. 5,100. Kind of disgusting. He had 12 touches last week, 13 opportunities. But I think the biggest thing is that Cam Akers showed that he is dust, at least for this year.
Yeah.
In his touches. And I think the Rams kind of finally recognized in that game that Daryl Henderson should be the guy. 12 attempts, 56 yards, 23-yard run. So that was damn near half of his production. But 5,100, I think we could get full workhorse Daryl Henderson this week at home against the Cardinals, which is not a bad spot at all. Obviously, I think this Rams run game is broken and we would need him to score touchdowns. But I do have a hunch that they go back to Hendo as the guy.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely could. I would also be on the lookout for Kieran Williams news just because the team seems really high on him. And I think that they're looking for anything that could possibly spark this offense. It wouldn't be shocking to me to see Daryl, you know, get scaled back in favor of somebody like Kieran Williams if he does return. But I think if, you know, that isn't the case, that's a pretty good call.
But Williams is 4K. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on because there were reports of him being the workhorse when he comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was speculation he could have returned last week. So, I mean, definitely something that we'll keep an eye on as the week develops. And there are some other running backs that I like, too. I mean, I think Nick Chubb always perpetually going to be under-owned on DraftKings just because the projections are never going to love him. But, you know, out of the higher-tier games, this is one of the games that I could see shooting out, you know, between Miami and Cleveland. So Nick Chubb is interesting for large fields. And I like both running backs in the Bills-Vikings game. I think without Josh Allen, we could see a heavy dose of Devin Singletary. It's been a while since we've seen the ceiling, but he did close it out last year, showed that he does have multiple 20 plus point games within his range, and they play him a lot in close competitive games, which this should be, especially without Josh Allen. Could see them lean more run heavy than they have at any point, you know, really in the Josh Allen nuclear era. So not too bad at 5,600. And Dalvin Cook, 8K, nobody will play him at that price tag. And the general consensus is that the Buffalo Bills have one of the best rush defenses in the league. They do, allowing the sixth fewest rushing yards per game, but over their last three games, they are in the bottom seven, allowing 150 yards per game. They've kind of fallen apart in terms of rush defense, and this is a spot I think where, you know, if the Vikings are able to upset and win here, it could be on the back of Dalvin Cook, who also has two back-to-back six target games, getting more involved in the passing game. Cook to me is a phenomenal tournament play this week.
Yeah, I definitely do not mind Dalvin Cook. Nobody's gonna play him. I think the Bills run defense numbers are kind of inflated just because they get teams into bad game scripts, but we saw, you know, in that Packers game specifically that they will allow big runs.
Absolutely.
And they will allow opposing running backs to feast. And this is a game where the Vikings could potentially be in a favorable game script the entire game. And nobody is going to click Dalvin Cook's name because he's, you know, just in between Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, etc. We didn't mention Kamara in cash game consideration. I think that was a mistake. I think that he is going to be in cash game consideration, even at 7,400. I don't know if you have a lean between him or Josh Jacobs, but we obviously know Kamara's upside is extremely, extremely high. His reception upside is high. If Jarvis Landry's out once again, I mean, Kamara and Chris Olave should operate as the team's top two pass catchers. I definitely do not mind him. I think that you could go there in cash. Haven't built any lineups, so don't really know what the build is looking like, but you could definitely squeeze him in, but he's a very good play as well.
Agreed. My lean is that Jarvis Landry returns this week, but we will definitely see how that goes. Kamara's good. I think I would have him just a little bit below Josh Jacobs. I really love the Raiders offense this week, and I think they'll be able to completely roll on a reeling Indianapolis Colts team. I mean, these dudes didn't even have a play caller at the beginning of the week. Like, this team is going to be in shambles. I truly believe that. So I'm on board with Josh Jacobs after slumping for the last 2 weeks, getting back and maybe hitting a 30 plus ball like he was for that 3 week span. In terms of stacks, I think we kind of hit on everybody that I'm interested in. I think it's Mahomes. I think it's Tua, and I think it's Justin Fields. I don't mind sprinkling Trevor stuff into large fields. And if Case Keenum Keenum opens up, that'll be a conversation we have later in the week. But, you know, really outside of those 4 to 5 guys, there's very little that I'm interested in stacking up. I think I just want to play the best stacks and differentiate through lineup construction, as we've sort of been talking about here.
Yeah, there's just not too many good stacks, quite frankly. You know, I don't think there's even that many good plays on this slate, to be honest, when you adjust for price. So definitely going to be a relatively tight player pool. Once again, you know, you can have your Patrick Mahomes, Justin Fields, Tua. I personally am going to have Case Keenum in there at 5K, just because I think the offense is just too good that they could elevate Keenum. You know, Diggs and Gabe Davis and Dawson Knox and Singletary and the other guys can elevate him. In my opinion, and the offensive scheme in general. So don't mind him. Think that's it for stacks. Like, I have no interest in stacking up, you know, Stafford or Derek Carr, Andy Dalton or Trevor Lawrence or Aaron Rodgers. Daniel Jones is interesting, I guess, at 5,700, but you can't really stack him.
Can't stack him, bro.
I mean,
Godius. What are you talking about?
No, I said this the other day to a Bills fan. How funny would it be if Josh Allen had, you know, his injury was kind of severe, but it's because, so he wouldn't be able to throw, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he'd still be able to run.
Mm-hmm.
What if they just put him at running back?
You think he'd be the best running back on the team?
Absolutely.
Without a doubt, right?
Case Keenum handing it off to Josh Allen.
Yo, you might be onto something.
That's what I'm saying, right?
You might be onto something.
So what if Josh Allen is still in play?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen, 20 attempts for like 120 and 2. Think it's in the range.
Definitely in the range, for sure. I mean, in that last game, he had 86 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground.
I mean, Josh Allen, yeah, I mean, you think he couldn't be Taysom Hill plus? You've got another thing coming.
Yeah, you don't even, like, he doesn't even have to throw.
He really
just put
doesn't.
Case Keenum in for the throws and run the Wildcat with Josh Allen. Let him go crazy.
I would love to see it. I would truly, truly love to see that. In terms of long shots, Joey, I mean, I kind of already hit on the guys that I think are my favorite long shots, and it would be Khalil Herbert and Dalvin Cook, two guys I'm really bullish on this week. Do you have any long shots that you want to give the people here?
I mean, I guess my long shot would be Daryl Henderson at 5,100, barring Kieran Williams coming back. I also like Jeff Wilson at 5,500.
Great call.
I think that, you know, he had familiarity with the system. He comes in, he has 12 touches, he leads the Dolphins backfield in snaps. I think this is still going to be a committee for sure, but I think they're going to operate with Jeff Wilson as the pass game back. You know, they wanted Chase Edmonds to be the pass down back, but he was just horrible, you know?
Mm.
And speaking of Chase Edmonds, nobody's going to play Chase Edmonds for the Broncos.
4,700 against Tennessee.
Nobody's going to play Chase Edmonds for the Broncos.
Mm.
What if he comes in and he's immediately the guy?
I mean, it could happen. It just happened with Jeff Wilson Jr.
Right? Because, I mean, you have Melvin Gordon and Latavius Murray there. I think two running backs that they're not really comfortable with anymore.
No, I mean, Melvin's fumbled his way out of comfortability.
Yeah, Melvin has 4 fumbles on the year, you know, although he hasn't fumbled in the last month of the season. So got to give him, you know, some credit there. But he hasn't gone over 15 touches since week 5. Latavius Murray could be the guy there, whatever. But Chase Edmonds, 4,700. I mean, legitimately, nobody's going to play Chase Edmonds. And I think he's probably the best running back in that backfield. And I think he will operate as the pass catching back as well. So, I mean, if you want a disgusting sneak long shot, there you go, Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, I just want to add some context to the Jeff Wilson stuff. I kind of think that it might be backwards from what you were saying. I think Jeff Wilson is going to transition into being the primary, you know, rushing, you know, first and second down back. They had Raheem Mostert in for almost all of the 2-minute drill stuff, but Jeff Wilson, like you said, did out snap him. We'll see how that goes. Jeff Wilson's really just never been a pass catching back, and I guess Mostert hasn't either. Kind of an aspect to their offense that they're lacking, and one that they really don't need when they have Waddle and Tyreek doing so much damage on the outside. So interesting, but I do like the Jeff Wilson call for sure. I mean, if he led the backfield in touches with 5 days to prep, I mean, he's got a full week now, and Cleveland is a run funnel. Miami are home favorites. That's a really strong call. I like that quite a bit.
Yep, I like Jeff Wilson, Daryl Henderson. Just trying to find some cheap value at the running back position. If we're looking at wide receivers, I mean, MVS is 4,100.
Hey, you don't got to tell me twice about playing MVS. I'll play him every week until I get even. I mean, I'll need to ship a Millie to get even on MVS, but maybe this is the week.
Yeah, I mean, tied for his lowest price of the year, 4,100, best game environment on the slate. Think that's okay. Donovan Peoples-Jones at 4,300. Love that. And that potential shootout between the Dolphins and the Browns. Other than that, yeah, it's a tough week. There's not much that I really love. And I would just advise everybody to tune into the Saturday stream where we will have more concrete thoughts and opinions. And make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just hit our goal of 500. Now we're on the road to 1K.
Hell yeah. Shout out to us. Shout out to the grind. And shout out to everybody out there listening. That is going to be it for episode 263 of the DFS Dose podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Dose Media Net, as well as our personal Twitters. I'm at Ben Hover, Joey's at Joey Carrion DFS. If you guys want to connect with us and stay up to date with what's going on within the network, join the inner circle via our free Discord chat. Link to do so is in the show notes to this podcast. To everybody listening out there, we appreciate you. We value you. Until next time, let's stay accountable and keep it authentic.